Use as directed.
It's a 7 after the hour of the Good Day weekend program. Welcome to an hour discussing food, the business of food, the food news. Phil Lempert is the food man, supermarketnews.com, supermarketguru.com, Phil's Food Sense television show aimed at helping you understand how breakfast, lunch, dinner, and all kinds of other things come together. He is the food industry expert, and we're happy to have him every week at this time to help you, the food news of the week. I'd like to share these stories with you, and you share them with me. We'll have a quiz, by the way. A food
and we
quiz.
Have an unbelievable gift today.
Unbelievable. What are we going to give away today? You want to get the cat out of the bag?
Sure. What we found going through everything is we actually have yet another egg board giveaway,
wow.
$120 gift card, and a
wow.
grab bag, which is either a golf prize or a lunch prize.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you have that to look forward to if you answer our quiz question. Why don't we start? Let's do, because we have a lot of things to cover today. We're going to talk about honey.
And the new dietary guidelines. Big
husband
week.
And wife. Right. All right, so what's new in the honey world? Honey's very important, by the way, a very important food. And we'll meet Roger Clemens, not the baseball player, but the new dietary guidelines is his focus and how they impact the food industry, what you're eating, et cetera, et cetera. So the question of the day, Phil, what is the difference between apple juice and apple cider? 800-510-8255. If you know the difference between apple juice and apple cider, you ought to call in right now with a good answer. You'll have a chance at the prize. Phil just suggesting this certificate's good. The egg stuff is always good. So if you know the difference between the apple juice and apple cider regime, routine, how it is, well, if I give you too much more, it makes it too easy. All right, the difference between apple juice and apple cider, 800-510-8255. Enlighten us, if you will, like Phil does every week. Business of food. I was noticing in the L.A. Times this week a story about, you probably saw this as well, being as you're in L.A. as well, the number of calories in a foot-long cheeseburger from Carl's Jr.
You know what's so interesting to me, Doug, is
right.
that all the fast food restaurants, not just Carl's Jr., but all of them, are getting bigger. In fact, yeah. It used to be where we would look at a Big Mac, which is a little under 600 calories, and say, oh, my God, how could somebody eat that? A Big Mac today is like the tiniest of all of them that's out there. But at the same time, forget the whole obesity thing, but the same time that these fast food restaurants are making things bigger, the supermarket products are getting smaller.
Really?
We want smaller portions. We want more diet foods, except when we go out to fast food.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm interested in, the trends for Super Bowl snacking and eating. There must be somewhere, someplace this week, a story or article or information about what people are choosing, the kinds of foods that they get as they shop. Maybe they're shopping today, or maybe they shop during the week to come up with things that are, I don't know if they're the typical things.
Well, it's our
most
story
of them aren't
on
very
supermarketguru.com, of course.
All right. So you got that there. Supermarket.
We have it there. But, you know, here's the interesting thing, that the number one focus this Super Bowl seems to be about takeout pizza. Pizza Hut is saying that they're going to deliver about 2 million, Papa John's about 1 million, the other one, you know, another million, and Wingstop is saying 5 million wings on this Sunday.
Wow. Imagine how many of those you'd have to eat. Well, you know, this in the face of a lot of news this week, every week it seems to get more and more serious, not only here in America, but around the rest of the world. The global obesity rate we found out this week has doubled since 1980. The global obesity rate. My friends in China would say that was because of Western corruption. Obesity is a big problem for women now if they're trying to get their mammograms. And we have stories about child obesity that's linked to mothers working. The children's rate rises the longer the mom works, that kind of stuff. So, again, the message is clear. And yet, Carl's Jr. and the rest of these people are out there plugging away on their
and we're buying it. I mean, that,
right.
They would stop making these sandwiches if nobody bought
people
them.
Would buy. Yeah, It's that's the incredible part of this. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the other thing I saw this week that intrigued me, I'll throw a few things at you, and then you'll give us what your experience and your research shows as far as food news this week. The government says that food prices will rise in the next year 2 to 3%. What do you make of that? What would be the reason for that, and do you agree with that number?
I disagree with the number. I think it'll probably be about double that amount.
6%.
Prices are going up for a variety of reasons. First of all, the late plantings, the, you know, the feed for animals is going up.
The cost
in fact, we just wrote a report this week that looked out to 2050. And, in fact, what we found, and this is a report that came out of, I'm trying to remember exactly who did it, but it was an international report that came out that basically said that if you look at our commodities, they're going to go up significantly between 50 and 150% between now and the year 2050.
The cost of petroleum will be a major factor in that because moving the material around because of here's the secondary thought here, but it maybe ought to be the primary thought. The reason food costs more, and this is the cynical side of all of this, is because it costs more to transport food from various places, whether it's inside the country or outside the country. And the way that we are forcing the local family farmer out of business does nothing except increase the cost. You know, we talk about how much cheaper it is to grow things on big farms or to have, the stuff grown in California, move it to New York. Well, in fact, because of what Phil has just suggested, the increase is going to be the cost of transportation, the cost of growing all of this stuff is pretty standard because everybody's going to pay the same price for petroleum. But where it's grown affects how much you're going to pay for it. And don't be fooled by people who tell you they can do it cheaper because they're bigger. It doesn't make any difference anymore.
And it's not about the efficiencies of the operation anymore.
Mm-hmm. No.
What you're pointing out, certainly the more that we could buy local, whatever it is, it's not only going to be fresher, healthier, more nutritious, and more tasty, it is going to be less expensive. And this report, by the way, came from the International Food Policy Research Institute. And what they found, they looked at 15 different scenarios. Corn, between now and 2050, between 42 and 131% increase. Wheat, right. 17 to 67% increase. And rice, 11 to 78% increase.
Yep.
We can't afford this.
No question. You can't afford it. Does this drive people into buying more stuff like we were talking about last week or the week before? People buy these tacos that were the focus of a lot of quality attention last week because that's all they can afford. Well, so the more this stuff costs, the more people are going to say, well, we can only afford going to the fast food restaurants and therefore the vicious cycle. So we're going to kill ourselves or allow ourselves to be killed earlier because of all of the things that we're not getting in the way of. There's no reason not to protect farmland and to have local growers of food. And this is what most of you say you want. But what are you doing to protect the source of the local food? Are you working in your community to save farmland? Are you doing that? Or are you just, oh, I want to go to the farm. Oh, sorry, it's not there. 61 houses on the land now. Oh, well, I have to go to another town. It's a domino effect.
Well, when farmers can't make money, you can't blame them for selling out.
I don't blame them at all.
Development.
Yeah, it's not them. It's the reason that they can't make money.
The people who are farming as a profession, it's more than just a business. It's a love for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it breaks their heart when they've got to sell their land.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is a love for me, and it's created a lot of stress in my life that I probably could do well without trying to save the land. Okay, Dr. Phil Lempert is here, not the same Dr. Phil is on TV. He's a doctor of knowledge when it comes to food. Check out supermarketguru.com. And Phil brought to us by the folks on the Egg Board who tell you a lot of good things about eggs, including their cost. Some people are concerned, as you said, about the cost of food, the commodities, prices going up. Egg prices are pretty stable. Pretty stable, Phil.
They are. And, in fact, you know, we were going to talk about the dietary guidelines in just a little bit. But, you know, what's interesting about the dietary guidelines as they came out this week, there was a lot about eggs. For example, one thing that is in the dietary guidelines is that one egg per day does not result in increased blood cholesterol levels, nor does it increase the risk of cardiovascular disease. Very specific language here. Also, a specific recommendation to eat a nutrient-dense breakfast. And, you know, there's no breakfasts that are that's better than an egg. Breakfast contains eggs, helps you stay full longer, keeps you energized throughout the day, and eggs are a great source of all-natural, high-quality protein. Just one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts and for 70 calories, and, as Doug said, just 15 cents each. Eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. From America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. Take a trip around the world without ever leaving the kitchen. Just visit the recipe section of IncredibleEgg.org, home of the incredible edible egg.
Real people, real nasal congestion.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I have been congested for the last 10 days, and it is so frustrating.
Would you like to give Afrinasal Spray a try?
I would.
As soon as you feel any difference, let me know.
Just 45 seconds later.
Wow. I can breathe through my nose. Afrin has made me happy. Is that a silly statement? I would absolutely recommend Afrin to others.
Afrin starts working in seconds. Why suffer? Use as directed.
Winter is really heating up at Rite Aid during Winter Rewards. That's right, cool temps mean hot values and prizes with your Wellness Plus card. Like a $20 plus up reward when all your purchases, now through February 26th, add up to $100 or more on thousands of specially marked products. You'll also be entered to win one of over 800 prizes totaling $100,000 every time you use your card. Winter Rewards, now through February 26th, only at Rite Aid. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Do only dogs hear dog whistles?
You can enjoy multi-car safety feature and good driver discounts when you switch to GEICO. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Keep your data safe and easily accessible.
Barracuda Networks can help.
The Barracuda Backup Service is the only data storage solution that combines on-site hardware for rapid restores and cloud-based storage for disaster recovery. At just 50 cents per gigabyte per month and advanced deduplication technology to significantly reduce storage space requirements, the Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com.
The Good Day Weekend program, Phil Lemper, the supermarket guru, is here. Beside the game, what's the most anticipated part of Super Bowl Sunday? The commercials, of course. Here's TK Anderson with more on that fun.
During Sunday's Super Bowl broadcast, tune in to see which consumer-created Doritos and Pepsi Max commercials receive airtime on the world's biggest advertising stage as part of the fifth annual Crash the Super Bowl Challenge. Gary So with Pepsi Max.
Our creative fans submitted thousands of entries, and we narrowed the field down to 10 finalists. America voted, and now it's time to see which six spots receive airtime during the big game and a shot at a shared $5 million grand prize.
So says he was impressed with the talent and creativity of the fans who entered this year's contest.
We want nothing more than to give away $5 million the day after the big game. And based on the 10 consumer-created ads that we have vying for the game day spotlight, we know Super Bowl 45 will be a huge success for our fans.
Tune in to the Super Bowl broadcast on Fox to see what happens next. For more, go to CrashTheSuperBowl.com. That's Lifestyles from Doritos and Pepsi Max.
Real people, real nasal congestion.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I have been congested for the last 10 days, and it is so frustrating.
Would you like to give Afrinasal Spray a try?
I would.
As soon as you feel any difference, let me know.
Just 45 seconds later.
Wow. I can breathe through my nose. Afrin has made me happy. Is that a silly statement? I would absolutely recommend Afrin to others.
Afrin starts working in seconds. Why suffer? Use as directed.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All-natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Skip the long lines and high prices at the florist because right now at ProFlowers.com, you can get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and a free box of chocolates for just $29.99. Just visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 4444. Unlike overpriced flowers at the florist, which sit in the cooler for days, our flowers are sent fresh cut from the fields and are guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days. Just visit ProFlowers.com today to get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and free chocolates for only $29.99. Order now and pick the delivery date you want. It's guaranteed. But hurry, because Valentine's Day is this Monday, and our special offer ends this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 4444.
Focus on honey in a moment. The good news about honey is it's really good. We'll find out what the best honey is in a moment. Dr. Phil, you minded? I seem to be into that, and I like the fact that I consider you to be a professor of food knowledge.
Well, this I is think professor is better. In fact, professor I actually used to Phil. Teach. I don't like doctor because then we're implying that, you know, I'm an M.D. I'm not.
No, you could have a Ph.D.
Dr. Ken.
I have a Dr. Doug. Mine is piled higher and deeper. That's what my Ph.D. is. 24 past the hour, the Good Day Weekend program. Phil Lempert is here. The supermarket guru. The question, our food question of the hour is asking the difference between apple juice and apple cider for a swell Phil Prize Rita. What do you think the difference between apple juice and apple cider is?
Hi, the apple juice is apple juice, and apple cider is aged apple juice.
All right, that's not the difference, but that's an interesting story about it. Yeah, okay. Not that it isn't wrong, not that it isn't right, because it may be that that is the truth, but that's not what makes them different. There's something definitely done that's different. Bonnie, what do you think the difference is between apple juice and apple cider?
Apple juice is put through several filters to remove all particle matter, which makes it yellow instead of brown.
That's a good guess. And I don't know that that's not true, but that's not the answer. Mike, what do you think the difference is between apple juice and apple cider?
Well, I'm shooting in the dark here, but I'm thinking that the apple juice is just the juice where the apple cider has the meat of the apple or the pulp included in it and possibly cook some.
Well, you're getting warmer, but you're not there yet. Thanks for the try. 800-510-8255. The difference between the juice and the cider from an apple, what is it? A swell Phil Prize awaits you, 800-510-8255. Let's meet Eric Wenger, who's the chairman of True Source Honey, and talk about honey, how good it is. This is something you and I, Phil, talk frequently about because it's something that both of us eat. Do you eat honey? I suppose you do. What's the what's the correct terminology for ingesting honey?
You consume honey.
Consume it. All right.
Consume.
So, Eric, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for having me on today. So,
thank you. And in fact, Eric, that's Doug. And what we want to talk about, not necessarily how good honey is, because I think our listeners know it, but this new traceability program, very important issue because keep in mind what many people don't know, and in fact, back to our trivia question for a second, you know, two-thirds of all of our apple juice or apple cider, both combined, Doug, actually come from China these days. So
yeah,
that,
right.
that jar that's on the shelf in the supermarket, two-thirds of that is coming from China. And when it comes to honey, we have a lot of imports as well. So, Eric, tell us more about this whole certified honey traceability program and what's important about it.
Okay, well, and in fact, what you've just identified is really the core issue right there. I would assume that most consumers can go to the store and look at their apple juice, and their apple juice will say, this is a product of China. This, mm-hmm. this apple juice has come from China. The problem we've got with honey is that doesn't take place. And so there are a number of things that cause that to happen. And so this is a complex issue, but maybe I can – Can I just give a quick overview of why traceability is a problem in honey?
Sure. Please. And also what I really want to know is, you know, where it's coming from and are there differences? I mean, honey from China, is it different than honey from the U.S. and why?
It is. You know, the flavor of honey, the way honey tastes, is entirely dependent on the flowers that the honeybees gather the nectar from. So if you eat, and it's different from region to region within a country, and it's different from country to country, so it's got a different flavor. And generally, in the United States, most consumers are have an affinity for a kind of a light, delicate flavored honey. Mm-hmm. And a Dakota clover honey is kind of the U.S. standard for what good honey is. That's what a lot of people think of. Now, there are varieties, just like wine. There are many, many different varieties of honey, and some people prefer some of those specialty honeys, some of those unique flavors. But generally speaking, most folks like a kind of a light-colored, very delicate-flavored sweet honey. When they think of biscuits, they think of clover honey most of the time. And so, and not that there aren't, there are lots of good honeys from all different parts of the world, because the U.S. is, we consume about 400 million pounds a year, and we only produce about 160 to 180 million pounds a year, so we have to import a lot of honey. And there are plenty of other mild honeys out there. And China is a major honey producer and a major honey exporter.
All right, now I'm going to throw this monkey wrench into the discussion. One of the reasons I'm going to speculate here, and you tell me if I'm right, last week we were talking about genetically modified foods, and I was railing on the fact that the government approved the use of genetically modified alfalfa, as they have genetically modified corn, and the impact that that has on that which would not be genetically modified if it's in the same area. If you're growing alfalfa and the bees are pollinating the flour or corn and they're pollinating the business of what we need to know about where all of the bees do their work, genetically modified food in China is much more of a problem than it is here. And I'm wondering if that, we'll talk about that in a second, I'm wondering if that affects the quality of the honey that we're getting from there, the taste of it, all those other things, because of what the bees are exposed to. And maybe one of the reasons we talked about this last week as well, Phil, the bees are dying off is because they're having problems dealing with the genetically modified connection that they're making one plant to another. So we continue our conversation about honey in a moment or two, half past the hour. Good day, week.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to mainmilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Look for Phil Limpert on The View this week. You'll be on The View on Wednesday. Is that right? New food product
next
on The View.
Next Wednesday.
That wouldn't be this Wednesday. It would be a week
not
from
this
Wednesday.
A week from this Wednesday.
A week from Wednesday. All right. And on the Today Show, pretty much with regularity, at least once a week. Are you not on with?
No. About twice a month.
Twice a month. Okay. Well, I'm trying to give you more credit.
Well, thank you. I'm trying to stay off of planes.
All right. I understand that. Yeah. Okay, so Phil Limpert is here, the supermarket guru. Be the first to know which new products are out there. Get Phil's hits and misses delivered straight to your inbox. Again, sign up at supermarketguru.com, daily news flash. You can go to DougStephan.com, GoodDayShow.com, and see Phil's picture. The co-host box is right there. Click onto that, and it'll bring you right to supermarketguru.com. We're trying to find the answer to this question, the difference between apple juice and apple cider. Margot in Montana, you're on the Good Day Weekend program. How do you do, ma'am?
I'm fine.
That's good. What is the difference between apple cider and apple juice?
Apple juice is heat-treated, pasteurized for safety, and apple cider is left in its natural state. You can leave it out about 8 hours and then put it in the fridge or freeze it to arrest the development.
Juice is pasteurized. Cider is not. Cider is better for you. The same with raw milk. It's very interesting, Phil and Margot and everybody else listening. The same rules apply now to the sale of raw, they call it raw apple juice. Usually the producer can sell it on his or her farm, but they can't sell it to be sold in anybody else's farm. Same as with me in raw milk. I can sell the raw milk on my farm, but I can't sell it to anybody else. But the apple juice being pasteurized is less good for you than the apple cider, which is mostly in its natural state. All right,
right.
Margo? Good
right.
job. Hold on just a second. Phil, what is she going to get?
Well, she's going to get a $120 gift card courtesy of the American Egg Board. And, Margo, you've got a choice. If you want a golf prize or a lunch prize, and both of these prizes are a lot of different things that have the incredible edible egg logo on it, so they're really kind of cool. So you've got to tell us, do you want lunch or you want golf?
See, not golf, so I'll take the other.
Okay, then we'll send you the lunch prize and the $120 gift certificate.
All right. There you go, Margo. Thanks for the call. Hold on just a second. We continue our conversation now with Eric Renger, who's the chairman of the True Source Honey operation. We're talking about the traceability of honey, and I mentioned something before about GMO modified foods and grains. And one of the other things that goes hand in hand with that are the use of pesticides, which are pretty much out of control in China. I don't know, Eric, whether you knew that or not, but most of the food that comes from China, be it garbage as it is, one of the reasons that it's garbage is because of their unbridled use of pesticides, which we fortunately are getting a handle on, but no thanks to Monsanto and Dow and Cargill and that bunch over here.
Wait a minute. Keep in mind something. That pesticides are a different issue. When you look at a company like Monsanto, and people don't realize this, you know, Monsanto does create genetically modified seeds. Also, they have non-genetically modified seeds. And the reason that GMOs have done so well is they actually reduce the use of pesticides. So different issues.
Some do, the Roundup Ready stuff. Anyway, you and I have these conversations. I love having these conversations with you because we present a balance that way. Phil has one, a bit of interest and in experience and expertise, and I may have another. So, Eric, let's get to the bottom line with you and what maybe it's not important as to why the honey that comes from China is garbage. It's just garbage.
Well, and I think that's the point right there is that if you want to know where it comes from, if you have concerns about a particular country, be that China or any other, you've got to know what their agricultural practices are, and you want to know how that's going to affect the food that you're going to eat. So in order to make a decision, you've got to know where the food you're eating came from, whether you're a, you know, whether you're a consumer or whether you're a company that's going to process that product. You've got to ensure food safety, too. So you've got to know where it came from. And that's the whole point of TrueSource Certified is it is a voluntary program for all participants. If you're a honey producer, if you're a honey packer, if you're a honey exporter, honey importer, you can participate in TrueSource Certified, and you'll get audited by a third-party independent auditor so that you can prove that the honey that you're processing or dealing in is exactly, it's coming from exactly where you say it's coming from.
Now, may I ask one more question, Phil, of Eric, the idea, and we've talked about this, whether local honey is better for you because it is the very fact that it's produced locally helps you in many different ways. I know people around me who buy the honey on my farm because it's locally produced. It helps them with their allergies and all kinds of other things. If you're allergic to pollen and the bee and the honey, all of these things, the circle is pretty easily completed here. Do you agree with that contention, Eric?
That local honey is good for you?
My question is whether or not local honey addresses some of the health issues that people have, concerns that they have. If you can find local honey, is that better? Does it make a difference than just as long as it's made in America or grown or processed in America?
Well, you're putting me on the spot here because, of course, I work for a company that processes honey from all over the world as well as from the United States, and I'm also the lab guy. I'm the director of quality, and so, you know what? I encourage people to buy local honey. I haven't seen a lot of studies to support major differences because honey is mostly sugar. You know, it's mostly fructose and glucose. And the stuff that's in honey. Now there's a lot of support for consuming the local pollen that's in the honey when you buy local honey. And that's maybe the one point I'd concede to you there. And I've actually seen studies saying contradictory things about consuming local pollen. So that's probably as much support as I can give you for that.
That's okay. I think that answers the question, Phil, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
All right, Eric, thank you for joining us. Good to have you here, and good luck with all of this. We're trying to educate people because we think in a specific and general way that most of the stuff that comes out of China is not, no matter what it is, in people's best interest to consume. So this is one more example, one more idea, one more thing to think about in looking at labels. Where does the food come from? That's our mantra here. Thank you, Eric. Phil, and that's our mantra. Look what you're buying, where it comes from, what's in it.
Read those labels. Everything is right there. And know what you're getting. And you might choose to get, you know, a product, a food that is from China because it's a lot less expensive, but know what you're giving up.
In a few moments, we're going to meet Roger Clemens, who is the president of the IFT, the guidelines, the new dietary guidelines, and how they impact you. Before we get to that, though, I'm curious. I was thinking as we were talking to Mr. Wenger about honey and the attention that comes to other things. I don't know if olive oil, it seems to me, is one of these products that we use that's subject to the same vagaries as honey. And it's good for you, maybe not in exactly the same way, but if we have a look at the bottle of olive oil, are we likely, you know, this virgin oil, olive oil is extra virgin and all that other stuff. But do we look at where it comes from? Is there extra virgin oil that comes from China? Or do we just are we best to look at the olive oil and buy it locally, the same as we advise in every other respect? Well, are there
keep in mind, regions? You know, one of the things, we can't say universally that buying everything local is better. I think that what we can say is when you buy things that are local, they are typically fresher because, especially when it comes to fruits and vegetables, they're on the vine longer, they have more nutrients and the like. But when it comes to olive oil, you know, most of the olive oil actually comes from Spain and Greece, not from Italy, so you want to read those bottles very carefully too. But frankly, the best olive oil for me, I've got two. One is from, a lot of the olive oils from California are terrific, and also France.
Yeah.
I love French olive oil. I find it much smoother. And also there's some new olive oils from Australia now.
Yeah, but there is olive oil that comes from China, and it's subject to the same vagaries as all the other stuff that comes out of China, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. We'll meet Roger Clemens. Stay tuned. This is important information for all families, the dietary guidelines, what the government says, and how they impact the food that you're buying and the availability of food that you may like. That's coming up in a moment, 17 before the hour. Good day weekend. Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru here.
Real people, real nasal congestion.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I have been congested for the last 10 days, and it is so frustrating.
Would you like to give Afrin Nasal Spray a try?
I would.
As soon as you feel any difference, let me know.
Just 45 seconds later.
Wow. I can breathe through my nose. Afrin has made me happy. Is that a silly statement? I would absolutely recommend Afrin to others.
Afrin starts working in seconds. Why suffer? Use as directed.
Women move the world, and Caltrate helps move them.
I asked my gram to sponsor me in her walkathon.
And I said, okay, but she'd have to sponsor me back, because I'm walking too.
Caltrate provides the essential calcium that helps keep bones strong and muscles moving. Caltrate gives us 1,200 milligrams of calcium and 800 IU of vitamin D.
We'll do the full 5 miles.
And do it together.
Caltrate helps women keep moving, because women move the world.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Real people, real nasal congestion.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I have been congested for the last 10 days, and it is so frustrating.
Would you like to give Afrin Nasal Spray a try?
I would.
As soon as you feel any difference, let me know.
Just 45 seconds later.
Wow. I can breathe through my nose. Afrin has made me happy. Is that a silly statement? I would absolutely recommend Afrin to others.
Afrin starts working in seconds. Why suffer? Use as directed.
We're not trying to trick you here. We're trying to give you the straight scoop. This is information that's very helpful. Phil has a wonderful national and international reputation. That's why I'm so pleased to have him on the Good Day program every weekend for you to take advantage of what he knows, his food sense, the PBS television. If you haven't seen this yet, you ought to look at your local listener. Just so you can log on to philsfoodsense.org and see where it's playing, right? Every week that
Absolutely.
It's on
yep.
air, wherever it is,
we're,
the list is there.
We're now over 600 airings. Of it, and we,
yeah,
and we just got word that they're looking for 5 more shows, so very excited.
There you go. Perfect. Nothing wrong with that. All right, Roger Clemens is with us. He's the president of the IFT, and perhaps that's a good place for us to start, Mr. Clemens. I bet a lot of people, I'm sure I'm not the only guy in the world who's ever said, oh, you're the other Roger Clemens?
Yes, indeed. That's a great icebreaker for all of us. I'm the original Roger Clemens.
You are, and you're much better looking, and you're a better ball player, probably.
Well, I certainly have less money in my pocket.
And probably right. better information to share with us, because this is a big week in food. The 2010 Dietary Guidelines for Americans came out on Monday. Some surprises in it, a lot not surprises. If you had to pick one aspect of it, Roger, that you did not expect to see or hear on Monday, what was that?
Well, I expected all of them. I was a member of the Dietary Guidelines Committee.
Oh, okay. So you had the inside shot.
I had the inside shot, but yet everybody had the inside shot. In fact, there were 5 public meetings, and everything that we did was transparent and open to the public. So if anybody traced and tracked what we were doing for 18 months, they knew exactly what was going to happen.
Well, the one big surprise to me was the fact that they came out and they said instead of sugary drinks, soda, for example, drink water. I did not expect to hear that.
The focus on those two pieces, one is that sugar refers to calories. Two, we want to maintain fluids, hydration. And three, we really the really pinnacle of what we discussed was actually reduce calories to therefore reduce energy. So it makes sense to reduce those kinds of products that have added sugar.
Now, the other surprise for me, I really expected the guidelines to come out and reduce the sodium level. Now, what's not clear to our listeners and probably to the average person is the guideline was 2,300 milligrams a day, and that maintained. But for certain at-risk groups, people over 50, African Americans, people with diabetes and the like, reducing that to 1,500 milligrams. But those people, those groups now represent over 50% of America. Why didn't the committee just come out and say reduce sodium to 1,500 milligrams for everybody?
Well, the original report does say that. We have to be practical about it. They said 1,500 milligrams would be ideal for the general population. The evidence has to be there. It was as an advisement. Clearly, those populations that are at risk, 1,500 milligrams was the consensus of the report. That was also the consensus that it was presented by the Institute of Medicine in their report. That was in March of 2010.
So the bottom line is, regardless of what the guidelines say, we should really be limiting, for everyone, sodium much more than we are.
That is really the intent. We need to know our sodium numbers, just like we need to know our cholesterol numbers and our saturated fat numbers and obviously our calorie numbers.
So how do we get that in a regular annual physical? Has the 24-point test? Are there things that come out in there, like you can tell how your iron level is, and you can get the PSA test, and, yeah, it does cholesterol and a lot of the other things.
Sure.
Is there an indicator there, something, a substance that's in your test that would say, okay, this is something to look out for?
No, it is not, actually. The best indicator, frankly, is elevation of blood pressure. There are many factors in the diet and environment and lifestyle that can, and as well as age, that contribute to elevated blood pressure as we get a little bit older. So the best indicator, that's why we suggest to look at sodium in this level, is to, in fact, reduce the blood pressure. That really is the best indicator at this time.
Wow. And so, the other things here, go ahead, Phil.
What I was going to say, Roger, is So we have these guidelines. You and the other committee members spent 18 months pulling them all together. One of the students, matter of fact, that was in the room that asked one of the questions, talked about teenagers. And frankly, I found that the answer was mediocre at best. But said, you know, he looks around at himself as other teenagers and so on. Everybody's getting fat. Why can't the dietary guidelines be more specific when it comes to different age groups? And you know, from the States, they said, well, you can go back to My Pyramid and you could type in your age and so on. But what else can we and should we be doing when we look at the different age groups?
All right, Roger will answer that question for us in a moment. Roger Clemens is here with Phil Lempert and Doug Steffen on Good Day Weekend.
Forget everything you've been told about long-term food storage. When all hell breaks loose, you'll need the single most effective way to get high-powered Delta Force nutrients to your family fast. Like any Special Forces commando, you need a plan. You need a Black Hawk Down food plan. Introducing the Survival Sprout Bank from Solutions from Science. It's your countertop survival garden. Yes, grow fresh greens right on your countertop in just a few short days. Sprouts are the green shoots that emerge from newly germinated seeds, and they are powerhouses of living, easily absorbed nutrients. The Survival Sprout Bank is a complete kit with nothing else to buy. And with sprouts so easy to grow, even children can grow emergency food. Call 877-327-0365 or go to SurvivalSproutBank.com. That's 877-327-0365 or order online at SurvivalSproutBank.com. Survival Sprout Bank, your Black Hawk Down emergency food plan.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.gov.
All right, 53 after the hour now. You're listening to the Good Day Weekend program. I'm Doug Steffen. Phil Lempert, my colleague and expert in food, is here. We'll be talking about some of the food tests that Phil conducted. Here is a continuing conversation. Roger Clemens from the Institute of Food Technology is here, member of the Dietary Guideline Advisory Committee. These new dietary guidelines and the impact they're having on the food that you ought to be eating. You have choices, lots of them. But in the average grocery store, there are, what, 170? How many different items in the average grocery store to choose from, Phil?
About 55,000 different products.
55,000. Okay. All right. So you just asked, you want to, just so in case everybody went to sleep.
Sure. So Roger, how do we now take these guidelines and make them part of our lives?
The dietary guidelines have a number of appendices. The dietary guidelines are intended to be flexible, respecting the traditions and cultures that we have here that make America great. The guidelines provide a number of suggested appendices there that indicate what you can do for the total dietary plan. Teenagers, to your opening remark, indicated that they have some unique needs. Calorie needs. Typically, if you stay within the caloric ranges that are recommended at both the dietary guidelines and the Institute of Medicine, they too can meet the dietary nutrient needs through the dietary plan.
But Roger, let's forget about, 1,200 pages and everything else. How does an average American who wants to eat healthier, who probably is carrying an extra 10 to 20 pounds around with them, probably at risk for high blood pressure and diabetes, how do we empower those people?
Each person is empowered. They're empowered by their own discipline.
Oh, no, Roger, come on. If that was true, we wouldn't have two-thirds of Americans obese or overweight.
They have a chance to make a choice. What we want to encourage here is that, one, go from a 12-inch plate to a 9-inch plate. Fill that, over 50% of that plate with full of color. Full of color means lots of fruits and vegetables, seeds and nuts. And then you could put any other kinds of foods that you've come to really enjoy as part of your culture and tradition. And drink plenty of fluid milk. And there, too, you can have a really good balanced diet and nutrient dense instead of energy dense. And you, too, can, over time, can reduce your weight and reduce your risk of various kinds of diseases, that such as you mentioned.
Okay.
You satisfied with that, Phil?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, I'm not satisfied with the 2010 dietary guidelines either. And in our reports this week, we pointed out why. Because we keep on having the science that says all the facts, and no one is concerned how we empower people, how we educate people, how we make people think differently about their food. And it's not about a website, and it's not about typing in your age or energy. It's really people understanding where their food comes from and being able to think differently. Concrete examples for, you know, going from a 12-inch plate to a 9-inch plate, yes, those are the things that we've got to get people to do.
Those are really good examples. We will see that, in fact, as the Office of Center for Nutrition and Public Policy will have some of those excellent communication opportunities so that, in fact, the consumers do feel empowered. Those guidelines and build-up of the guidelines and recommendations for the American public will be implemented at the end of March and beginning of April. They will provide tools to the American public to make it better.
We'll be back here 5 years when we've got the 2015 guidelines, and we'll see whether or not we've made a difference, whether we go from two-thirds of Americans being overweight to half of Americans or 90% of Americans. And until that point, we're just not going to know. It's all about the execution. It's not about the science. We know that everybody's fat. We get that.
One of the things in Roger's defense, I don't know if it's in his defense, but I would say that the people that sell hamburgers at McDonald's have a lot more money to dispense information or why to buy their product than the folks at the International Institute of Food Technology. And that may be wherein lies the problem. The government and all these other people, they're outclassed, Phil, in getting the information out. That's why we're happy to have you here, Roger. It does, I agree with Phil, need to be a very strong message. And so in the guidelines, the creation of them is one thing that's extraordinarily good. Next thing is to be on the top of, what does it tell, as the old song go, climb every mountain or go to every mountain, cry from the mountaintops, and you'll be heard. It is very important to get the information out now that it's there. And implementing this stuff is a difficult challenge. We certainly acknowledge that. But maybe through a lot of appearances and programs like this, you get the message across, or you know, any number of things. Thank you for the information at any rate. Roger Clemens, president of the Institute of Food Technologists. It really is. It's very difficult for. But the other side of it is, Phil, it's so much common sense involved in this. For God's sakes, you know, eating all that fat is bad for you.
Exactly. And we've got to get people to understand.
Yep. All right. Phil Everett, supermarket guru. Don't forget to check out the website through DougStephan.com. Phil and Doug here every weekend at this time with the food sense that you